Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Lindsay Clancy, lots to go through here. Conspiracy and confusion. That's what I want to address. Literally, I'm going through the comments of you guys over the last several weeks directly from our YouTube. I've copied many of them into my teleprompter and document here that we're going to work through. And we're going to go through various theories, various observations, misunderstandings, confusion, because there's a lot of it here in this case, where at the end of the day, I don't care what you land on, whether you think and believe that Lindsay Clancy was someone who did this and was completely understanding of what she was doing, or if you think she was psychotic. What I do care about is that you're getting there based on fact and based on truth, and not based on conspiracy or just flat-out confusion, because there's so much out there with it. Lindsay Clancy admits she killed her three children. That's one fact both sides of this trial agree on. And somehow it's the fact getting buried under everything else. Patrick did it. The knife was set down by a left-handed man. She fled the country. He fled the country. I mean, these things just are, they're not based on reality. There's a rope on the bedroom door. She never heard a voice until her lawyer needed one. Again, those things I just stated, these are things that are out there in the ether being presented as fact. Some have nuggets of fact attached to them. Some are not at all. Every one of those claims is circulating right now, and every one of them has an answer on the trial record. This is, like I said, Lindsay Clancy, conspiracy and confusion. We're pulling some of the comments straight from this channel, the ones with the most traction and the most confidence, and we're checking each claim against what was actually said under oath in Plymouth Superior Court. What you decide about Lindsay Clancy is yours. Guilt, insane, failed by doctors, all three. Reasonable people are landing in very different places. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, is with me as always to help us do just this. I'm just going to jump into one here. I'm going to read it verbatim, and then we can kind of to parse through some of the claims being made.
Before you do, quick, I want to first, let's before we start diving in the first one, let's give some, again, we've said this throughout this case, I want to give everyone a methodology to think about these things.
Okay.
We have an amazing audience, and I've really come to respect the critical thinking in our audience. So I want to remind everyone, when you see or get information, what my process is and what a critical thinking process, especially in this world of true crime, that is, one, if you come up with an idea or theory, the number one thing I think you should start trying to do is find facts and data to disprove it. Secondly, if you hear a competing fact or theory that you don't agree with, find facts and data that would prove it. This keeps your brain constantly in motion, trying to find real facts and data free of confirmation bias. And then, if you keep landing on your theory and it's going very well and you have facts and data and you can't disprove it and you're seeing other data, look for opportunities to correct yourself and be wrong along the path. Like I told Jennifer yesterday on the show, I said, my number one goal amongst many goals is I get excited when I am proving myself wrong and I evolve my opinion of things, because that proves to me I'm critical thinking. So I just want everyone to remain critical thinking. If you hear something, don't dismiss it. Don't celebrate it. Let's investigate it. So with that, Tony, I'm sorry. Let's go.
No, I agree. That's a great way of looking at it. Challenge your beliefs. Try and look at it from the angle of you possibly being wrong, because believe it or not, we can be wrong.
And it's okay. Then the last question you ask yourself, what would it take for me to change my mind? And then before you even go any further, write it down. It's like, I have on this case, I have a list of things it would take for me to change my mind. It's very articulate. That way, if you start seeing them, if you don't have them written down, you can dismiss them. Well, I still think this. No. You actually set a criteria for yourself. Let's analyze that criteria. So with that.
All right. We're going to try and get through as many of these as we can. We're going to start with the conspiracy confusion and did she do it area, basically, because, again, somehow this is up for litigation on the internet, not in the actual trial. This is not a whodunit case at all. But some are treating it that way. So let's start with this. This is the comment. Quote, there is blood outside the window like she's trying to escape. And apparently there's a rope around the bedroom door. How do you explain that? If she cut her wrists and was trying to commit S, why would you need a rope then? I don't think she was trying to commit S. I think she was trying to get rope off her hand that he did and was trying to frame her for all the murders so he could be with his mistress. These are the comments that make my head want to explode. But I want to tackle them, because people read these who don't know anything about the case and go, there's a mistress, there's a rope. No, there's actually none of those things. None of those things are part of this case. Let's just start. Blood outside the window like she's trying to escape. It came from her going out the window. The state police analyst Sherry Crook testified the stains on the sill and shingles were transfer stains, contact with something bloody. Both sides agree. She went out of there herself. The only fight in court was whether she jumped or slid down. There's no rope. There's just no rope. That's not in the testimony, not in the evidence. It's not, there's no rope. So if you're hearing anything about a rope, just know that that's completely made up.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about a rope either. I have watched every minute of the testimony throughout this entire case. And so there's a few things here. So again, let's investigate it. Let's try to prove this right. And so the things that don't allow us to prove it right is, one, there's no facts and data in there that are accurate. So we can't utilize any of that. And here's what I'm looking for accuracy. I'm looking for testimony in this case, because we are, and a lot of times we're covering cases that haven't been to trial yet. And a lot of times you're covering cases that have already been to trial. So we can use those facts and data and other things that have been leaked out in the internet that we can actually verify through multiple sources. That's what we want to do. And not just hearsay, what firsthand accounts. And so in this case, haven't heard of the rope. So I don't even know where that came from, but let's look at the S attempt here. Mm-hmm. We have two areas to look at on this, and one of them profound and the other one massively profound, to say that this was indeed a very, very serious S attempt. And that is, one, the medical examiners of her, you know, the forensic examiners of her. The injury she had was extremely congruent, extremely, from wrists to neck to impact of all the internal damage of ribs, bones, organs, which paralyzed her, does not happen from sliding down the side of a building. It's only from head first into ground. That was a testimony of the medical people, strict medical people. And that's profound to me. Even more profound, though, is every single mental health provider in this entire sequence, both for the prosecution and defense, both sides, severe S ideology, and severe attempts. One actually acted out on, and so severe that even the prosecution's forensic psychologist, that's actually still on the stand as of this recording now being cross-examined by Reddington, he actually testified yesterday about how severe it is that he's very rarely seen cases where she's on one-on-one supervision for 3 years after the event. That's how severe that is. So, sliding down the side, escape, someone else doing it, not in there. I won't even give this a 0.1% probability. There's not, both on the pure physical medical side and the mental health side, there's not one person testifying, and there's not one bit of evidence that it's anything but exactly that.
What do you make of so many people going, I don't believe, you know, it was a true S attempt. I don't believe she was S idol, all of that. It's like, she's telling everyone she is. She's journaling about it, you know, but somehow the conspiracy is that Patrick was setting this all up and telling people that these are private conversations with clinicians where she's saying this before all of this happened. Patrick wasn't involved in those conversations. So for that conspiracy to work, would Patrick sit like paying off the clinicians to say, I mean, I just don't get it. When the actual person in question has said on the record 40 different ways what half of the conspiracy theorists are saying is not true. Like, I don't, the person is saying it over and over and over and over. I don't know. I mean, there's cases where it's like, it's gray area. Like, maybe they said it, maybe they didn't. That's not this at all.
There's never I never give broad sweeps. Look, I use that word never, which means extreme, right?
But yeah.
I tend to not give broad sweeps of everyone in a category. But here's one thing I see for, I think, a large swath of people that have this theory of it's not her that did this. And that is, she's very compelling. So if you are on the side where you don't view her as this evil demon monster, but your mind remained open at the very beginning, and you saw her completely collapse non-verbally and verbally into herself, you hear the story of her background, her arc that has been described about her and her as a mother and as a wife and as a daughter from absolutely everyone that testified, both from the prosecution and the defense side. She's a compelling figure. And she's a figure, as Bob Mata said, our great attorney, on one of those days, the second day, he just wanted to give her a hug. So in the words of other people, you wanted to give a monster a hug? Well, yeah, for some people, she's an extremely compelling person that you can't believe would do something like that. So it must be someone else. And we will find the data to support our observations. And so hence, we're going to do what we do as human beings. We're going to see patterns where patterns do not exist. We're going to have we've come up with our conclusion. It must not be her. So now we're going to collect our confirmation bias data to support that and find a pattern that's not there. That is what happens in these cases. And that's why if we listen to all the testimony, and I thought the doctor on the stand, yes, I can't remember. I can't pronounce his name. The final witness that the defense has put up, I mean, the prosecution has put up for the rebuttal, you know, he gave two practical theories on this one. One, it was either a postpartum psychotic break, as the defense is claiming, or it was a severe S attempt with S ideology and the filicide. Well, what kind of filicide is it? Humanitarian filicide, where she thought the children would be better off dead than without her on this planet. You know, so he came up with two theories on that. So that's what you're left to entertain after yesterday's. But again, it's she's a compelling fit because, again, what's that explanation give? Both those explanations give it wasn't her in her right mind, and that's what that's why the defense is saying what it is. She in her right mind as a human being is incapable of doing these things, and I think the people that are coming up with these theories, it's Patrick, are in the same place. They just don't understand why they're at that place.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of really good points there. Specifically talking about how our minds, that's what's been most fascinating to me in some of our conversations with Siobhan, of just how we're getting here and finding patterns where patterns don't exist, basically to confirm
the outcome we want.
The condition that we are most comfortable with.
Right.
That's, you know, what version of this story are we going to be able to digest? And it doesn't necessarily at all come down to what was reality here, what happened in Lindsay Clancy's mind. It's what are we okay with on the outside over here, which has nothing to do with the case, of saying that this exists in our world. And that's a very, because it's such an extreme, such a horrific thing. I think a lot of people are having a really hard time dealing with reality on reality's terms, basically.
It is. I mean, our discussion yesterday was the same thing, even after the, after being on air, you know, with Jennifer. It's like, this is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing, pragmatically and objectively. And that's why we really honor the jurists in here that have the hardest job out of everyone right now, is they have to sit here and hold two things truth at the same time. The truth of the horror that this mother brutally murdered her kids, and what kind of human being can do that? At the same time, they got to try to hold, in the other hand, the fact that it wasn't her in her right mind, if they're going to go with what the defense is saying. So it's a very, very hard thing to not want. As human beings, we want justice. We want retribution. We want punishment to be doled out from those people that do horrendous things. But our criminal justice system was set up for just these extremely, extremely rare situations where we're going to bring in some more harder science when we need to do it, to take a closer look. And ultimately, what you and I think, or what everyone in the public thinks today, doesn't matter, because we're not on the jury. If it ever gets retried, if she's found guilty, and they all the different rebuttals they could do and retrials, you know, we know you might be on that trial. But as of right now, it's in the hands of them. And I think, as we said yesterday, watching the testimony, you know, that the prosecution, I thought, did an okay job as of right now. I think they started hitting more of a stride towards the end with some of the people they brought on board, until those people fumbled by calling, you know, saying, invoking religion, as they shouldn't have done. But I'll tell you what, Reddington has thrown it all on the table. You know, if they don't side with the defense, it's not because of effort. It's not because of great testimony. It's not because of great cross. And you have to really, you have to respect the process.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a lot of questions here. Let's get into some more of these that have come down on the "Did she do it?" Again, not what this case is litigating, but the internet is. I'm just going to read a couple of these that all kind of pertain to the same area. Have you watched the trial at all? Patrick did this. Y'all are going to regret this in the end. The evidence is atrocious. There really isn't any evidence pointing at him. Duxbury police and MSP have destroyed this case. Typical of Massachusetts. When you don't have the evidence for the theory you're going down, you're going to blame then the institutions that failed to gather it for you, I guess, by that logic. Now, look, I'm not a big fan of a lot of Massachusetts law enforcement. I think they've proven themselves quite incompetent in many cases. This case, I don't really have much of an issue with them at all. And but, you know, there's plenty of cases where there has been questions. I don't know enough to speak about this specific department, but that's an interesting way of looking at this one.
Well, there's also not much to investigate. She did it. She admitted she did it. And so you're just collecting data in a very small location. Digitally, forensically. I mean, it's not like, and full access. No one was denying anything.
Well, when someone comes up and says that the evidence is atrocious towards Patrick, they're not basing that on evidence. I mean, there's no evidence in this trial about that.
And so here's what you can really then take a look at. So if you think there's more there, and I know Bob Mott has said this, Eric Faddis has said this, we've all said this on our show, and that is, you can only go and base what you have on the facts and data collected. And when you have a 50-year defense attorney who is world-renowned for investigating these things and trying these types of things, as Kevin Reddington is, if there was a way, I mean, you saw, I think everyone could agree, he is very, very passionate and compassionate for his defendee, for Lindsay. There's no doubt about it. If there is a way, and Bob said this too, if there is a way for him to pin this on someone else, he would have found it. There's just because we don't like his affect, just because people think he moved on too fast to marry someone else and fall in love again, or whatever he calls it. Again, this is what's hard for us. We each individually have our own context, because we place ourselves in their shoes, not as them, but as us.
Yeah.
What you would do in that situation might be extremely and is extremely different than what they would do in that situation, because here's why. You grew up in a different place. You went to different education. Your reasons for falling in love with someone are different. Your definition of love is something different. Everything you need going through, I mean, how many of you, of us watching have lost three children to a brutal murder by your wife. And what does that feel like? What do you need to recover from that? What kind of therapy have you been through or not been through? See, all these facts and data give us each our individual context of what is. And so, again, it comes down to who are you to judge the right and wrong of someone else's actions, especially if it's not illegal. But I know they're claiming it's illegal that he did it. But where? There's just... Now, granted, I'll live in the world of maybe on absolutely everything. And if someone can provide data, facts, and analysis that says there's a glimmer of something there that is actually not conjecture, that's not some theory to prove your point, it's just not there.
I don't he moved on to, like, there's a comment there we just saw. The speed at which Patrick met his wife and remarried does make me question her motives. It was 3 years he waited to get married. That's not a short period of time. That's 3 years.
What's interesting about that too? I'll tell you, I'm curious about it because it's a painful thing to move on from, and it's awful. So I'm less curious about Patrick, believe it or not, on this. I'm curious about what must be going through his mind, because when you get in the world of behavioral analysis, I'm compelled to try to understand everyone that's touching this, that touches everything. That's why I'm always looking at degrees of separation, the people in your lives, the relationships, the communication, all of it. And with Patrick, the one thing that I'm really, really curious about is, yes, him, but I'm really curious about the amazing, and I only say amazing because I don't know her. I can only imagine the amazing woman it must be to subject herself to this, knowing what he's been through, knowing that he didn't fall out of love with her, but from what we've seen, we remember. So what I mean, I'm really curious. I mean, it takes a really special person to be able to do that and go through this scrutiny. So I'm a glass half full until I see something. Otherwise, I see a lot of really in this whole circle of people surrounding Lindsay. I see nothing but really caring, empathetic people. And I haven't seen a wobble here anywhere. Matter of fact, that's the most unusual thing to me in this entire case. There's no wobble. I haven't seen a wobble yet from anyone.
That's the most frustrating part about this case is like we see wobbles in all sorts of cases all the time and nobody sees them. And this one doesn't have any, but yet everyone sees one and we're like, no, there's no wobble. It's like
I find this the other day too. It's like, how do I see things? So my 22 plus years with the FBI on my behavior team, running my behavior team, when we did a behavioral consult on a case, we are assessing the motivations, actions, and deeds of an individual, management, all these people in the circle that was surrounding this case. And what we would do is we would behaviorally observe that person over their life arc. That's where I come up with this. I mean, it wasn't just me randomly coming up with this. I mean, this was my process for how I understood people, their motivations, their likes, their wants, their interests, their priorities in life, the pain points, all those things in someone's life to understand what makes them make the decisions they do, from their best interest. And then what we had is we had our operational forensic psychologist sitting with us on our team as I'm making my behavioral observations. They're then doing what we're seeing in the trial here. They're actually weighing in forensically, psychologically, science-wise to say if that makes sense or not makes sense. And so I'm very practiced at seeing wobbles, if they're real, imagine what's and linking the two together. I mean, it's a lot of reps of doing this. And I'm telling you, I hate using these I statements, but for me, I have not seen a wobble in any of these circles yet, anywhere near, as a matter of fact, not even near, I haven't even seen one, but anywhere near any other case we've ever covered, even with people that were innocent. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I agree. Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. We'll continue it there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.